Well, happy Mother's Day. Good to see you all in the room. And I want to welcome you if you're online. Luke said it already. But man, Mother's Day is a great day. It's good to be together. Good to see everyone. I'm Josh, if you don't know me, and just grateful to be together. Don't forget to take your pictures, write your letters, grab your flowers, get the chocolate. Moms, I hope you know you're loved and appreciated today. But it's bigger than that. I believe, and we've prayed, that God would use the collision, if you will, of just us being here on this specific day. The passage we're going to be in is Romans chapter 8, if you want to mark it here in a moment. But not just for you moms, like for dads, for brothers, for sons, for cousins, for daughters, for everyone here because of a mom. I mean, frankly, you might not even want to be here, or it might not even be part of your normal rhythm. But I believe the God of the universe will use today, the next 30 minutes or so, to speak a word to you. His word is that powerful. And in fact, the two most important mothers in my life are my mom and my wife, the mother of my children. I got a picture of them. I just want to brag on them for a bit. Is that okay that I brag on them? Okay, they're awesome, guys. And I'm holding this Bible because what these women have done for me in my life is continually pointed me to the promise of Scripture and what God has said in His word. And so I want to do that for you today. 20 years ago, I went to Western Africa for 2 months of my life, like 60 straight days. Now, I was 20, technically an adult. I don't know if I was actually quite there yet, but technically I was an adult, but still a mom's heart to see her son travel to a foreign country, 2 months, it can be tough. But in that moment, she did something for me I'm never going to forget. She printed off 60 different Bible verses so I could open a new one every single day. She thought about me that way, and I don't remember all 60 of them, but I do remember one. One of them, it was a particularly hard day, because why we were there was, it was called a survey trip. Here's the point. We would go as a team of 15 or so to survey the land, the people, the country, the business, the opportunities, so that a missions team can go back. So we were doing research. We're knocking on doors. We're talking to people. We're sharing Jesus, or we're trying. But that day, everything struck out. Every door we knocked, like, didn't open. Conversations didn't go well. The ideas we had that we thought were going to be good, like, it just all fell through. And so I'm thinking I'm a failure. Like, we had raised thousands of dollars. We had supporters, all this stuff to get ourselves there. And I felt, God, I have failed. I failed you. Like, nothing is working out. And providence would have it that day I opened the verse my mom gave to me, Psalm 46, verse 10. Some of you know it already. Be still and know that I am God. The chapter goes on and says, I will be glorified among the nations. Here I was thinking I'm a failure because obviously God's not going to be glorified if I didn't do my job. And God whispered back to me through this scripture my mom placed in my backpack. Josh, I got it. I'm going to be glorified. Just keep working, but I've got it. And today, I can't read Psalm 46 and not think about that promise of the Lord given to me by my mom. What an incredible gift she gave me 20 years ago. My wife is an amazing woman as well, and she likewise is a person of the book. In fact, so much so, we were driving on a road trip back from Kansas one time. She's doing research on her phone. I wasn't sure what she was looking at. If it was me, I'd be looking for a Garmin watch, or like how many bags of mulch I need to buy for my beds this year, you know, things like that. Well, she's researching the family Bible that she wants to buy for our bookshelf in the living room that we'll have there. We can read as a family and just remind ourselves of God's truth. Like, I married way up. Any other guys, you married up? Yeah, just, you better be raising your hand right now. Okay. She wants this Bible because the scriptures are deeply impactful to her. In fact, her life verse, she would say, is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. It goes like this. He, God, has made everything beautiful in its time. Some of you are in beautiful seasons right now. Some of you are in a mess. And it was 11 years ago we found ourselves in sort of a hardship. And maybe something similar that you're dealing with today. See, we were pregnant with our second child and literally announced it to the world on a Sunday. Daughter wears a big sister shirt, put it on social. Everyone that knows us knows it. Friday comes around and miscarriage happens. Everyone in the world knows it. And I remember being angry. Like, I was confused. I was lost. I was I was shook. Like, I'm supposed to believe God and he's good, but why God? Why us? Like, we already promised to be foster parents, like all this stuff. Like, we want to be good parents. We want to raise our children to know and love the Lord. Like, we're doing pretty good, God, don't you think? Why'd you do it to us? I thought those thoughts. I said those prayers. I cried those tears. And I remember I was driving to Stone Mountain a couple days later, just bawling my eyes out, asking God why. And a song comes on my phone, Vertical Worship Band, I'll never forget it. The Rock Won't Move. Here's the lyrics. The rock won't move. His word is strong. The rock of our salvation. And that points to Jesus, and it points me back. I'm remembering this verse again from my wife. He has made everything beautiful in its time. But I still didn't see it. Part of that story happened 6 months later because, like I said, we already were planning on foster care. And so we get into it, and we have a first placement in our house, May 2015. And little boy, we didn't know what was going to happen, but the end of the story goes like this. 18 months later, we adopt that same boy. He's our son now, and God has brought beauty from the ashes. And I tell you that to say, I wasn't feeling like it was beautiful much of that time. I was asking questions you might be asking today, like, why, God, am I in this season right now? Why am I feeling this pain? And I tell you those two stories to say, you are here for a reason. God has lined up providentially, I believe, for you to be here and hear Romans chapter 8 today. Romans chapter 8 is this mountaintop moment in the scriptures. And so whether you're a mom or someone with mom today, like, God has you here to hear these words. Just like my mom and my wife have pointed me to the scriptures, man, I want to do the same thing today. You're sitting here maybe facing the pressure to be a perfect parent, or you're sitting with regrets about moments lost, sadness for years gone by, struggles of a current addiction that you don't want anyone to know about. You're feeling it. And here we are in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, mountaintop of the scriptures. In fact, one preacher said, of all the literature in the world, the Bible is the most important book. And of all the 66 books of the Bible, Romans is the greatest. And of all the 16 chapters of Romans, chapter 8 is the best. And of all the 39 verses in Romans chapter 8, guess what? Romans 8 verse 1, in this guy's opinion, is the high point. So we're treading on holy ground. I want to invite you, let's stand together if you're able. And I want to read Romans 8, 1 through 4 as we stand in the presence of the scripture, the word of the Lord. It goes like this. So now, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving us his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. You can have a seat. Powerful promises that I believe for someone here today. God has you here to hear Romans chapter 8, verse 1, and to walk out with his freedom and his power through his Spirit for you today. In fact, I want to put just verse 1 back up on the screen. And if you're an underliner, if you're a highlighter or a circler, I want to point out three words that are going to get us going today. All right? First word, now. Second word, no. And third word, belong. Now. Now what? Like Paul is explaining, now we are in a new season. We are in a new era. But it's not now that you've memorized enough scripture, or now that you've attended enough church, or now that you know enough theology. No, it's all about Jesus, not about you. And when Paul says now everything's new, it's always pointing back to what Jesus has done. And not just chapter 7, like the one before this, it's chapters 1 through 7, the whole argument that he's built up so far. If you've been with us, We've traveled along through every verse of Romans this year, and we've seen Paul make a pretty incredible case, a case that all of us are guilty. None of us are free. All of us are hopeless. None of us are sinless. All of us are destined to hell without Jesus, and none of us can raise the hand and say, like, well, I'm good. No, all of us are condemned. And yet Paul says, now there's a new status. Why? Because Romans chapter 8 is like a door hinge, and it swings to a new section in Romans. Chapter 8, chapter 12, they both do this. And Romans 8 is a hinge moment where he's looking back at every argument he's made, chapter 1 through 7, and there's other now verses in Romans. Like, let me read you a few. Romans 3:21, now God has shown us a way to be made right with him. Now, there's a new way to be made right with God. What is that way? Romans 5, verse 9. Since we have now been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. That's a now moment. One more. Romans 7, verse 6. Now you and I have been released from the law, so now we can serve God, not in the old way by just obeying rules, but in a new way, Paul says, by living in the Spirit. Now is a new season. Now we are free, truly and completely free. Now there is no condemnation. Now, that's like the fourth word in the sentence in English. In Greek, Paul put it first. He said, no. No condemnation. Like, it's right at the front. You're not going to miss it. Strongest way you can say it in the Greek, no condemnation. So hear me. If you walked in today feeling a little bit, if you are in Jesus, that means zero. That means it's been paid for. It means not a little leftover dust because you used to be real bad. No, it means none. Zilch. Zero. Nada. Any way you want to say it. Not even a little speck of condemnation. Why? Third word, because you belong. You belong to Jesus. If you walk in here today feeling condemnation, there is a way to be released from that. It's if you belong to Jesus. And so Paul, I want to be clear. He says, do you belong to him? He doesn't say, have you obeyed enough? That's when you get no condemnation. No, he says, do you belong to Jesus? As a parent, you know, you parents in the room, you know what belonging is because you have kids. And you know, they belong to you. And some days you're really proud they belong to you, aren't you? Man, they hit like a triple or inside the park home run, and they scored the goal, or they said, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. They do all these proud things. And other days, you just want to hide from them in Walmart. Like, I just need a little break, right? And listen, I'm with you. But my kids, they belong to me. And here's what that means for me. On the good days and on the hard days, they belong. Why? Because, like, I work so they can eat, so they can sleep. They share my name. Names mean something. Like, they're deeply significant. And so since they have my name, that means they have an inheritance when I die. But it's bigger than that, because today when we go to eat lunch, guess who's sitting at that table? They have a seat at the table today. Not just later. Today they belong. And maybe some of you are in this seat and you're honestly going, Josh, I don't feel that way because the house I grew up in, I didn't belong unless I got the grades. Or unless I performed perfectly, then my dad said something to me. And what you've done is equated the love of God with that way of parenting you were raised in. And Jesus looks at you today and he says, that's not my way. You belong because I made a way, Jesus says. So if you failed and felt the distance, or you never quite were sure where you stood, maybe you're feeling that same thing today because there's a bottle, or there's sexual sin, or outbursts of anger, or spiritual doubt. And hear me, Jesus says, you, if you belong to Jesus, there is no condemnation. Verse 2 says the Spirit of life has freed you. And so for the rest of today, I want to talk about four different ways that no condemnation of verse 1 has freed you in verse 2. Because no condemnation, verse 1, chapter 8, verse 1, is perhaps one of the most powerful verses we will ever come across in the scriptures. And it has something to do for us today. And so, number one, if you're taking notes, No condemnation for you today, if you're in the room or watching online, means you are free. It means freedom from comparison. You ever compared yourself? I mean, it's so easy to do, right? We live in a world of filtered images, curated stories, AI productions of things that aren't even real, online friends and influencers. You know, we live by this trap, like, I need to have it more together. Like, I don't know, dudes, maybe you're like, hey, I need to buy a shirt like that guy so my arms look stronger. Or I need to have an outfit like her so I look prettier. I don't know what it is, but we live in that comparison trap. One young mother here at the church, Kylie, she put it this way. See if it resonates, moms. I think it's so easy to fall into the comparison trap with motherhood, she writes, especially with social media. Hello. I remember that when my son was born, it was right around the time a lot of our other friends had kids, and we would all post monthly pictures and videos like you all do, right? About the same time. And I remember comparing my child, she says, to what other babies were doing at that time, especially when they got older and started hitting milestones. And so humorously, she reflects, there was one weekend where I was making him do little baby sit-ups. Can you imagine, like, personal trainer mom, like, sit up, sit up. Because she wanted him to sit up on his own. Why? Because she saw a friend that posted the daughter that could sit up on her own. Trap. Here's what she says. I was determining how I was feeling as a mom based upon my child's, you know, performance. I was comparing myself to her. And so if he was hitting the milestones, I felt great. But if he was behind, I felt like I was failing. Guys, it's true for you too. Someone you work with that just always seems to have it figured out. Like, they got the right car. Their family looks good. They get the raise. It's the dad who seems to, like, get through to his son. He's on the sideline of the game, and he tells him what to do, and his son hits a home run. And then you yell at your kid, and he just picks grass. Like, it's so easy to compare yourself and think you're a failure because I haven't done enough like that other person, right? It's a trap. So the truth is, Romans 8, verse 1, if you are in Jesus, you belong to him, there is what? No condemnation. That means you're free from comparison. Number two, no condemnation means you're free from performance. Everybody just say it, performance. Man, we live in a culture, don't we? A performance mindset, we swim in it. Standardized tests, job performance reviews, sales quotas, college acceptance, social media, fitness trackers. We live under this lie that goes like this, I am how I perform. You ever evaluated yourself by that? In fact, all you parents out there, if you've ever taken your kids to the sports game, you go to Chick-fil-A after the game, they still got the jersey on. See if you finish this sentence. Someone sees you and they say, Did you win? Yeah, like that's what we ask. That's what we ask. We don't ask, did you play well? Did you play hard? Did you were a good teammate? No, those are all character things. We're like, huh, did I win? And it's doing something to us as a culture. We are driven by performance of scores and stat sheets and behavior charts. And as long as we're up and to the right in our performance, we feel pretty good. But if our kids or us are not performing, then our identity seems to be shaken. Mary is a mom here at the church, and she said, if I'm honest, when I was younger, when my children were little, I looked at myself as the potter. You ever been there, parents, where you try to mold them and shape them based upon how you want them to be? She thought, my job was to mold them and shape them into valuable individuals, fit for the world's society so that they would belong. And parents were there, too. We got school dances, dates, rites of passage, moving out, marriage, grandchildren, with this question, did I mold them? Did I set them up for success? Now, good questions to ask, but if we base our identity on them, it's exhausting, and it's a lie. It's a trap. Mary goes on, and I think someone here needs to hear this today. She says, God quickly changed my perspective when I heard a speaker remind me he is the true potter. My role is to invite Christ into our home, to bring them into the presence of the potter as often as possible through my example, my words, and his people, and let God do that work. But we live in this trap of performance. And guys, once again, you've lived here too. You measure yourself against some number like a bench press or some title in your job or some salary or something that you thought you would accomplish by the age 40, but guess what? It didn't happen. And all of a sudden you're feeling like you're not enough because you haven't performed. Well, Romans 8:1 says, no condemnation in Christ Jesus. That means you are free. Man, you're free. Feel it today. You're free from performance. Similarly, you're free from perfection. Everybody say perfection. No condemnation. It means you are free today. You're free from perfection. Some of you guys, man, you're taking tests in school, middle school, high schoolers, or maybe you were this when you were growing up. You get a 98, and you're like, oh, I can't believe I missed those two. You ever seen people like that? That's the perfectionist mindset we live in. Lindsay put it this way. Parents, see if you can relate to her perspective. She says, there are definitely specific times that come to mind when I have felt like all the other moms at school functions or at the church had everything perfectly together. You ever been there, parents? It's okay to raise. Yeah, okay. The kids had a balanced lunch. They had the right treat. And they actually remembered Teacher Appreciation Weekend on time, right? Like, and I just was trying to survive the day. Anybody been there? Amen. I'm just trying to survive it, man. Okay. It's so easy. You fall into that trap of perfectionism because you feel like I'm not a good parent or my kids are missing out because our lives aren't this picture perfect reality. There is a trap of perfectionism that we fall into. See if this makes sense on the screen. We aim for getting it just right, perfectionism. We think we should have it all together. Maybe it's been long enough and we think, by now I should have it figured out. But we don't, and so it brings us to anger. We're just frustrated because we can't quite get it. We keep messing up. We keep failing. And the more we do that, then we fall into fatigue. We get tired because we just keep trying and failing and trying and failing. And so we're tired and we fall into fatigue, which leads to numbness because we say this line, I'm never going to get it. And so you're numb. And what do you do when you try to numb the pain? Often you try to escape that pain, that numbness with a pill, a bottle, a screen, or a purchase. But listen to me, if you're in Christ, you are free from perfection. I put it in my notes this way. You don't have to have it all together because Jesus does. So now, there is no condemnation for those that belong to Christ Jesus. That means you are free from perfection. One more, if you're taking notes. No condemnation means freedom from shame. And our enemy will try to shackle you with shame, won't he? Some of you are here right now feeling shameful because you're even here. You feel like you're a lie or a joke or a fake. Satan will remind you of your sin. He will misplace your identity and call out all that is wrong with you. But if you are in Christ, there is no condemnation for those who belong. None, zero, not a little leftover dust, not one speck. And so that means, hear me, listen, you are not your strained marriage, your prodigal child, or a past abortion. You are not your addiction, your sexual sin, or spiritual doubt. You're not your financial debt, your church inconsistency, or your lost temper. You are not your shame. And Satan will try to intimidate you by threatening you and calling you names and calling out all that is wrong with you. Don't let him intimidate you. Satan has no power because Jesus has died and walked out of a grave and he spoke an identity into your life. We sang it a moment ago. You said it. I want to believe it. And so, church, I'm asking you, believe it today. Jesus speaks over your shame. Here's what the Bible says. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Bottom line today, no condemnation. It doesn't mean just the future. Like when you die, you're going to escape hell and go to heaven. That's true. That is what Jesus promises, but it's bigger than that. No, it's freedom right now. And every single one of us that walked in today, I want us to find the freedom right now. In the today, in the everyday moments, that you would find the spirit of freedom that would set you free. Like Heather did. she was in a season, man, of questions, because she's asking God, like, why is everyone else moving forward when I seem like I'm standing still? See, it was a season of singleness and infertility for her, and it's so easy, moms, to look around at what others have and think, God, why don't I have that? And you're in pain, you're in struggle. Listen to her. I didn't meet my husband until I was 35. We didn't get married till 37. It would have been easy to believe that lie that I was late, I was overlooked, or somehow less than because my story didn't look like everybody else's. After marriage came another season of waiting where condemnation was trying to get in. Words like this: you waited too long. You missed your chance. Your body failed you. You're too old. It's too late. But Romans 8 reminded me of my identity, that I was never behind. I wasn't broken or out of time. My identity is loved, chosen, seen, a daughter of God. And hear this, church. She said, Jesus didn't come to condemn me in the waiting. No, he came to free me in the waiting and to draw me closer to him in the pain and in the waiting. He will make everything beautiful in its time. Now, by God's grace, he's done exactly what I trusted him to do. I'm pregnant. He made a way. Praise God for that. And she writes, this is why this issue connects so deeply on Mother's Day, because so many of you have walked in. While everyone else in the room seems to be celebrated, you carry silent struggles because you're longing for a marriage, or you're broken over the one you used to have. You don't know what's going on with your kids. They're running. And you don't feel like a good mom. It's not a happy Mother's Day for you. You're wondering what went wrong. You're hoping for healing and for peace. It's just not coming. And so you walk in today and see the celebration happening, but you're carrying quiet pain. Romans 8 speaks to you today. Listen. There is no condemnation. And that's what that phrase does. It's not just no condemnation for like the future or what you've done. No condemnation means freedom from the story that you have been told about yourself, the story that you've sometimes believed about yourself. See, as a Christian, if you belong to Christ, the four words that are true of you are these: there is no condemnation. But sometimes we live under lies, don't we? And we pick four other words, like, you don't measure up. You are not enough. You mess things up. You will always fail. You're too far gone. You will never change. You are too broken. You'll never be loved. And we I don't know what your four words are, but we sit under these four words that are lies when we have the freedom of Christ. There is no condemnation. Do you belong to Christ? Then you are free. You define what you say. You define who you are by what he says and no one else. You belong to Jesus. Your eternity is secure, and you belong. You define who you are by what he says. And today, someone needs to find some freedom because you've walked in feeling condemnation because you never had it at home. Or the pain in your spiritual life runs so deep, you can't believe God would love you. But it's true. If you belong to Jesus, there is no condemnation. Not one. Not a little leftover dust. Not a speck. None. And so, church, if you're in this spot today where you've walked in and you don't have Jesus, you are not united to him, what you need to do during this song is make that decision public. You need to go to a prayer partner and walk through what it looks like for you to unite yourself to Jesus and receive no condemnation. And for others of you, man, you have been walking with Jesus for a while, 10 years, 20 years, 40 or 50 years, and yet the devil still tries to sneak in these lies to you, a four-word phrase like, you'll never measure up. No, the truth is, there is no condemnation. There's freedom today, so walk in it. As we stand and as we sing, let me pray first. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace and your goodness, for making a way where there was no way. And today, I pray, Lord, that you free people from shackles the enemy is trying to hold them down with. They're comparing themselves. They're trying to live perfectly or perform their way into love at home or at church. And they're feeling shackled by the shame of sins in the past or things that were done to them. Free them, Lord Jesus. There is no condemnation if we belong to you. And so remind us of this great truth and draw someone to yourself right now, we pray. In your name, amen.